Dave, welcome to SEC Media Days, man. I hope you're well.
Dude, it's great. You know, and now, so Luganville's on after me. So I'm his opening band. It's awesome.
I didn't say that. That's your comments.
Okay? No, it's been great. It is coming down 20. Is an adventure, especially at night, never having been here. Going 80, 85 and texting people at night is hard enough without a semi-trailer trying to kill you. I've never had so many semi-trailers behind me the whole way. But it was good. It was good. And, you know, I'm happy to be here in the zoo. It's nuts.
Have you had any barbecue since you've been here?
Okay. No.
You got to go find Dreamland here. I know, listen, we're a big sponsor of Dreamland as far as our big sponsor back in Tuscaloosa, the original location. You're not going to be able to make it down to T-Town. Hopefully we can get you back for a college football game. That's the original location. But here in Birmingham, they've got Dreamland. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Great barbecue. At some point, before you go back to Oregon, you got to stop and have some Dreamland barbecue sauce.
Nice. Well, I'll just have to look it up. Find out where it is on the way.
I'd bring you some sauce, but you'd get arrested at the airport and you'd try to slip that back in. I mean, no liquids, right?
No, it's under 4 ounces.
Yeah, well, this is
I'll
like 32.
That's my shampoo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go bathe in it.
Yeah, well, you could, and you'd probably have ladies attracted by the sauce.
Yeah, that's fine. There's a few of them here at this thing, too.
World famous. Dave, let me sort of, and I've been talking to Trey as well, and this was his first week covering SEC Media Days, and it is a shock. You haven't seen anything until you get to tomorrow and Thursday. We're sort of a build-up. It's sort of like climbing Mount Rainier there in Washington, okay? you sort of get up a little bit, but you haven't reached the summit yet. They sort of stagger it where you get that attention. But this place will start tomorrow, and then Thursday will be electric. It's I'm not able to describe it until you see it. You just have to see it. But it's first impression of SEC Media Day so far.
I'm just excited. I'm happy because I came here hoping to see a lot of people that I've basically, up until now, only had a conversational relationship with. You know, it's cool to sit there in registration line and look over and boom, there you are, right next to me. And, you know, and all these radio shows that have been on, all these people, and, you know, and the number of people, too. You know, it was great this morning talking to Bill Hancock, you know, meeting guys, you know, like Bruce Feldman or George Schroeder, just a lot of quality people here. And the frenzy of it's pretty amazing, too, because, I don't know, I think I'm having more fun here than a lot of people. A lot of people, I mean, this is their job, this is their career, so to sit there and boom. Someone's done talking, and everybody is in front of their computer typing their content, trying to get their job done before the next interview. And it's just go, 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 you know, and it's coach after coach. And it's run great, you know, for the number of people here. And it's a lot of fun. It is. I'm really privileged to be inside the gates on this one and have the backstage pass.
Well, certainly the who's who of the media. You see a lot of these folks that obviously you follow, and I'm talking about, listen, I mean, there's guys that I look up to in this business that you have a chance to have one-on-one conversations. And so if you're part of the media, this is a fun event to be a part of because it sort of turns into this reunion of all of us getting together because we all have this common interest, college football. We're nuts, right? I mean, we are. We're a little bit.
It is. It's like a fraternity.
Yeah, it is. Sure
you know, it really is. And I think that's one of the amazing things just about social media, for example, is all these little conversations. You know, whether it's Twitter or text or Facebook or who knows what, all the different ways of conversing now, and then suddenly being able to put a voice and a face to everything, a handshake to it is great. It's great, and I do. I see it as just really more of a fraternity because everybody is covering the same thing. But you know, other than a few people here or there, there's really not a lot of animosity there.
Well, they didn't put Alabama and Auburn on the same day. I mean, that sort of helps. I mean, listen, I'm having to look at a radio station right across that wear blue and orange. Okay, and they continue every time I make a little jab at Auburn, I get a look. They're not there. I mean, they packed up. I mean, Auburn, you know, they went home at 5:15. I mean, they got to put the roosters up and the cows and I mean, that's just that's the way they work over there, okay? But anyway, so they had to get out of here early. But I mean, I've been staring at them every time I make a jab at Auburn. I get a dirty look, and I wave at them. But, you know, hey, I'm in Tuscaloosa, the best college football town in the country. I'm going to put you on the spot. Texas A&M, can they make a push for an SEC elite team? I'm not talking about South Carolina or Georgia. Can they make a push, Dave? Can Texas A&M make a push?
Yes, they can.
Why can they?
Two things. Is number one, scheduling. Because what you have right now in the SEC West are three teams that will likely win the division every year for the next 10 years. Okay, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. That's it. Okay, there are three top 10. They're elite recruiters. And to beat all three of them in a single season is going to be very, very, very difficult. For A&M to do that, first of all, I think the schedule has to be in their favor, where they get two of those three at home. And they're going to get that every other year. So if they're having to face LSU and Alabama on the road, they get Auburn at home. No, I don't think so. See, because right now, those three, each one of them gets a road game and a home game against the opposite team. You know, Bama has to go to LSU, Auburn has to go to Bama, LSU has to go to Auburn. You know, and so all it takes is one road upset to win the division, in my opinion. With A&M, is the schedule has to be in their favor, but the other thing is they have to keep this recruiting at a high level. Now, you know, with Sherman, in the Sherman years and before that, this is a team that averaged mid-teens recruiting. Okay, very good. Semi-elite. Sherman sucked. He was awful. He was bad. He made people believe that that program was less talented than it truly was. Now, Sumlin has come in, and you are starting to see classes that are being strung together in the top 10. And he's still a class or two away from being a what I call an elite program. You know, you're talking about four straight years, top 15 classes, a couple of top 10s mixed in there. Now, every national champion to win the national title this century, in the previous 4 years before their national title, had at least one top 10 recruiting class, had at least two top 15s. And all of them had a composite average of top 10. A&M's just not there yet. They're like 11, they're like 12. You know who A&M? A&M is Oklahoma. What I say is in a semi-elite team, a team that in the right division, if A&M was still in the Big 12 recruiting like this, they'd be right there with Oklahoma favored to win that conference. But now in the West, they're only the fourth best recruiter. And even over a couple of years of potentially elite recruiting, they're just all they are is going to be still on the fringe. So could they do it? Yes. But I don't see it happening until maybe 2015, 2016, with the talent getting better and the schedule in their favor, getting two of those three big guys at home. The other thing, big question this year, and this is one of the cool things about college football is what we don't know. We knew Johnny Manziel carried that football team to a lot of wins. We knew the defense, when we at least watched it, we said, that's not a very good defense. So the defense coordination is still there. Johnny is gone. The talent has gone up. Are we going to see a team that has a very difficult schedule here? Are they going to go 9-3 and exceed expectations? Are they going to go 8-4 and be exactly what we expect them to be? Are they going to go 7-5 or 6-6 and take a step back because the defense isn't there? So for me to say, yes, A&M can compete, I need someone to do something good this year. And to me, good is 8-4 or better, because it's a very tough schedule. He needs to keep his recruiting up to keep it elite. And in 2015, maybe 2016, if he shows he can coach at the level of, or close to the level, of a Malzahn, a Saban, and a Miles, because it's going to take great coaching, it's going to take great talent, it's not there yet, and it's going to take a perfect schedule, they don't have it this year, to make all that come together. It's kind of a lightning in a bottle scenario, but I do believe they're going to make things very, very tough on the status quo, those big three in the West, in years to come if they can keep up this recruiting.
Here at live at SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, our coverage brought to you by Cardiology Consultants. I go back to Steve Spurrier for a couple of minutes. He made the comment that as far as there's more to life than just winning championships, talking about SEC championships. Help me understand that. Am I taking this out of context? I mean, is you wake up wanting to win the day, right? I mean, you wake up saying, hey, I want to be the best. I mean, Dave, you don't wake up saying, oh, I mean, I want to finish fifth.
I don't think he's saying that. I just think, and it's hard to tell with Steve.
Very hard.
Well, is he just yanking your chain? Is he trying? Is he going, you know, so I'm going to say football isn't that important. I'm going to piss off Fowler. I'm going to say that today.
You think he knows me by name?
He got it. No, he does not.
Well, he didn't speak to me. That's why I was asking. I mean,
no, but, you know, the thing is Spurrier is such a great ball coach. He's such a great football coach that I think he believes, A, he doesn't need the talent to win. B, he's done pretty much everything already. I mean, his legacy is intact. Does he need another national title to cement himself as one of the best college football coaches ever? No, he doesn't. He made a name for himself. He won a Heisman Trophy. He won a national title at Florida. He rebuilt that program. He took South Carolina from, I don't know where it was before it was South Carolina, but it wasn't South Carolina with Steve Spurrier. And you know, at this point in his life, the guy is independently wealthy. He doesn't need all of this stuff. Look at his recruiting. And I think his recruiting is a great indication in terms of the total effort. Okay, the average guy for Alabama this year was 497 miles away from home that you recruited this year. For Steve Spurrier, it was 212 miles. And that is the lowest number in the SEC. In fact, Steve Spurrier's average class over the last 5 years is closest to home than anybody. He doesn't reach out very far. And I know there's talent in South Carolina. Gamecock fans are talking about, well, plenty of talent in South Carolina, but not to win a national title. And barely enough to win the SEC East, but it's good enough for him. Until I see him start reaching out 300, 400, 500, 600 miles to get the best talent possible, I think he is content with building a, you know, try to build a wall around South Carolina, his area, recruit the best he can locally, and live his life. I really think it's really not that important to him. I think he's having fun right now. You know, he makes as much money as he wants. He wins a ton of football games. Everybody in South Carolina loves him. He's already accomplished probably everything he wanted to. You know, maybe he just doesn't have that drive that some people want him to have, and so they perceive it differently. And, you know, if he doesn't have, you know, maybe he doesn't have that drive of a Nick Saban or some of these other guys, it doesn't mean he's a lesser person for it. He just has a little bit of set of different priorities.
Dave Barksy right now inside the game. Dave, you just blew me away because I mean, we're college football nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to mean that offensive. You just quoted a mileage for a head coach. Dave, are you all right? I mean, you said you quoted Alabama 497 miles.
Yeah, that's your average recruit this year.
Okay, that's for your average recruit. And then you quoted Steve Spurrier 212 miles.
Yeah.
I think you're the only guy on this radio row that knew that. Or even in 1,400 members of the media, I've never heard of it, but that's a great point to look at Steve Spurrier.
But see, I look at the numbers to tell a story. And the reason I know these numbers is because I keep trying to find numbers that help tell the story nobody else looks at. You ask me the question, well, why may Steve Spurrier feel that way? Well, I try to find numbers that back up what fans feel. When a fan says, hey, SOS is important. Okay, let's look at the numbers. No, SOS is worthless. You know, hey, you know, if we win a bunch of games, our recruiting's going to go up. No, look at Boise State. They went 13-0 for 86 years, and they still can't recruit in the tide of the top 50. Texas goes 5-7, pulls a number 3. You know, you ask, hey, Steve Spurrier, is he working as hard as he can, or is he relying more on his talent and happy with where he is? I'm saying because he doesn't recruit, he has the lowest distance traveled to pull a recruit of anybody in the SEC over the last 5 years. That tells me he's happy with, you know, is, so maybe I'm wrong, but I'm kind of assuming that he's happy with where he is. He doesn't want to work that hard to go from that average 2015 class into the 10s, 5s, and higher. And so I'm using this as a number to kind of substantiate what he's saying. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Our ballot is due. In the next few hours, we're going to be asked to select an SEC Eastern champ, an SEC Western champ, and an overall champ. Dave, I know the way that you calculate jobs. When I come back, I want you to tell me your West, your East, and your overall champ. Because you're going to be asked in the next couple of hours, you're going to submit a ballot. You don't have to. I mean, Mike Slive will let you leave. He'll let you go back to Oregon.
I already sent mine in. You know that.
All right. But I know that you calculated everything. You just gave us the miles of an average recruit, okay? I can only imagine the time that you spent as far as prediction, analysis. Dave, the calculated gamble that you took, the prediction that you made for your SEC ballot. Let's start on the SEC Eastern side for just a couple of minutes. Give me your prediction. Who's going to win the SEC East?
Georgia. Here's why. Georgia at South Carolina. I did take South Carolina in that because Spurrier at home, bringing the lights out. Probably the best guy that recruits out of the number 5-6 position in a conference for winning at home. Absolutely amazing. But the crossover game, South Carolina does have to, they have to go to Auburn this year. So they have a poor crossover game. Their schedule is a little tougher than Georgia. So I have Georgia. That is going to probably be their only loss on the season, is that game with South Carolina. So I took Georgia to win that. In the West, the tiebreaker is Iron Bowl. For me, just like last year, home team in the Iron Bowl, I'll take that one. And that's going to be your tiebreaker. That's what is going to win the division, as well as, again, the crossover. With when you have 14 teams in the SEC and you have so much power at the top, and, yeah, I'll even include Florida as power, because even if you beat them, they're physically going to beat you up because they still are an elite program. Florida gets a poor end of the stick with their crossover games. They get Alabama and LSU. You know, look at somebody like Mississippi State. They get Vanderbilt and Kentucky. They get like two-game head start on everybody just because of the crossover game. So, to me, it's Georgia in the East. It's Alabama in the West. It'll be interesting that third week in college football when you have Georgia at South Carolina. I still say South Carolina is going to win that football game. But from there, outside of South Carolina and Georgia, I mean, what do you got for a wild card on that? Florida? Florida has just too tough a schedule, and they got Muschamp. Is there really a wild card there? I mean, you can't say somebody like Missouri again. That was out of nowhere. Nobody had that. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody had Missouri above third last year. Best case scenario, really. You know, Tennessee, they got a lot of talent, but their schedule is wicked. I don't know what they were drinking, what kind of shine they were drinking. And they said, hey, let's go schedule at Oklahoma before we get the crap kicked out of us in the middle of the season. Vanderbilt, they're going to be terrible. Who's going to beat them? You know, what game are they going to win? They may not even win a conference game. And same thing with Kentucky. Kentucky's one win might be hosting Vanderbilt. So, you know, with the East, it might be over as early as that first game. It might be over as soon as South Carolina goes to Auburn. That may be the big one there. I think it just comes down to those two football teams. And we talked about it earlier, you and me, when we were talking LSU, Auburn, Alabama. Those are your three. And whether it's 2014 or 2024, I still think it's going to be those three. As long as those guys are coaching there, the elite recruiting is going to continue at all three of those programs. All three of their coaches are top 10 in the country right now. And with that kind of talent, that kind of coaching, to have somebody else outside of those big three sneak in like an A&M, it's just going to take a lightning in a bottle year that probably nobody's going to be able to predict.
All right, so you went with Georgia, and I heard you sort of skip over the one. You hit it, but I just want to go back. Who did you cast your vote for?
I did. I cast for Georgia and Alabama. That's who I think is going to be playing in this. I think it's going to be Alabama because they have the home field, and I think it's going to be Georgia because they're more talented and they have an easier schedule.
All right, who's going to win the overall SEC? I mean, if you put Alabama and Georgia in Atlanta, I mean, who's going to be crowned as the best college football conference in America's the champ? Who is it?
Well, in that exact scenario, better talent, Alabama. Better coach, Alabama. There's no home field advantage. So you have to go with Alabama and something like that. I'm just kind of holding my breath on Georgia. The only reason Georgia scares me is this century there are 10 top 10 recruiters. Obviously there has to be 10 top 10 recruiters. Two of them haven't made a national championship game. Michigan, which probably never will, never will again because they're so dysfunctional, and Georgia. Georgia's still very talented. They're an elite program. They have almost their entire defense back. A lot of people are down on them because they lost their quarterback, but we've seen time and time again teams that lose their quarterback bounce right back and boom, win a national title the next year. E.J. Manuel left Florida State, and as soon as he was gone and people were so dependent on him, bang, they won it with Jameis. So I guess I hesitate because I'm waiting for Georgia to tick me off and burst my bubble on something like that. But when it comes down to a game like that, with Alabama's talent and Alabama's coaching advantage over Georgia, I have to take Alabama to win that football game.
Dave, I've talked to you about this upcoming week. You're making your first stop at SEC Media Days. You're traveling all over these Big Five conference media days, ACC, Big 12. I mean, you're sort of making a stop, and you're talking about the publication, College Football Matrix, CFBMatrix.com. the app that's downloadable, a lot of details about the stuff that you gave me. So if you like the nuggets, as far as Alabama's recruit, average mileage away from Tuscaloosa, 497. You'll love the magazine. You'll love the publication that's downloadable for your iPad, your many different pads, whether it's an iPad or anything else. I mean, right? I mean,
it's hard to describe because it's really not a magazine. I mean, it's interactive. It's
digital.
You
don't take that offensive when I say magazine, do you?
No, well, no, I don't. But what else are we going to describe it as? Because we took the best stuff out of Steel, Athlon. I mean, we're trying to stand on giants here. But we also did other things. One of the magazines is entirely from the Vegas View. I got three professional odds makers, Furman, Adam Kramer, Chris Andrews, and every team has a profile. You know, you go to Alabama profile, like right now. You know, there's all sorts of nuggets. Crimson Tide, 3-10 against the spread after a straight-up loss. 2-8 against the spread versus top 10 teams in the AP poll. You look at Saban over his career as a favorite, 93-71 against the spread. On overs and unders, he's 84 times over, 88 times under. And, I mean, there's – and every line, look at this. They did lines on every single game. To open the season, they have Alabama favored in every game. Closest one, -2 at LSU. But it's not just Alabama. It breaks down every team. It's seriously, for college football junkies, there is more content, there's more predictions, rankings, information, profiles than any other preview magazine out there. And it's all digital. It's all interactive. In fact, Alabama is one of the coolest profiles we have, because they sent us so many pictures. There's a slideshow in there, interactive one. You can just sit there and flip through all the cool events, cool pictures of the players, the stadium, coaches, everything. It's just absolutely phenomenal, and nationally it's just getting so much attention. It's really surreal.
Thanks so much. This is the first time that we've had a chance to meet and sort of shake one another's hands. Obviously, featured on the show quite a bit. We've talked via email, via text message, via phone call. But it's good to see you in person live at SEC Media Days. We welcome you back here inside the game. Thanks so much for helping us out and talking with the most passionate college football fans in the country. Listen, it's proof, my friend. Look.
I know. We're crazy.
I mean, we got 40 minutes left and Radio Row's empty.
We're a crazy, crazy, crazy bunch. No, I love every minute of it. You guys can call me anytime. I just hope that one time we're sitting down, and this is at a tailgate or right before a game in Tuscaloosa.
Can you take it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, we don't do it the way that Oregon does it out there.
Oh, no, they're pansies out there. They're pansies out there. Oh. I come out
here,
early.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, no, they try.
And you got to go back home to Oregon.
Yep. No, it's no big deal. But, no, if I'm coming out, I'm going to come out early, bring my bow, do some hog hunting, go to a game, make a real adventure of it. Dreamland, go to Dreamland.
Oh, you got to go to Dreamland. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. And you got one here in Tuscaloosa, excuse me, here in Birmingham, but also back in Northport and Tuscaloosa. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. And like I said, I'd bring you a quart of sauce, but there's no way that you could get it back on the airplane without getting arrested. You can try to sneak it in, but Homeland Security is going to pop you.
I just had to drink it before I got on the plane.
Yeah.